Chris, you have no idea what you've done.
Oh, God. See, this is supposed to be the start, like, where I say this movie. I'm going to leave this in. Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. This is Chris here with Brandon Rowe. We're being joined by Joy as well. We're here to review the movie Booksmart, which it has a, I think it still has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
no, it's people, 99%.
Who's the asshole?
You know it's going to be one asshole.
There's always one asshole. There's some asshole that ruined the 100% Rotten Tomatoes. But yes, on the eve of the great high school graduation, two academic superstars and best friends realize that they should have worked less and played more, determined not to fall short of their peers. The girls tried to cram 4 years of fun into one night. I think this is the directorial debut of Olivia Wilde.
Yes.
Film-wise, yes. She's directed music videos, but yes.
Got you. And let's jump right into this film. Because, again, this is a film that's been getting a lot of buzz for at least for over a month, right? Like a month and a half?
It got premiered at South By. I went to South By, saw it there, and this is easily, like, unless some shit changes, one of my favorite films of 2019, hands down. It is hilarious. It's so good. It's very well written, very nuanced. I want to talk a little bit, like, probably later in this review about kind of the comparisons to other films and why I have a little bit of a beef with that. But, yeah. It's fantastic. Beanie Feldman and Caitlin, and I'm blanking on her last name. I apologize, sis, because you were fantastic, too. The girls... stellar, like acting amazing. You got fucking Carrie Fisher's daughter in the film as a weirdo, amazing. The greatest weirdo ever. The school is actually
Billy Lord,
Super damn dope. Yeah, super damn diverse. You had all these different cameos. I can't speak more highly enough about this film. It's fan fucking tastic.
Yeah, I think maybe Joey likes the movie.
Yo, Gigi is hilarious. Like, she just pops up at every fucking place. Like, how the fuck did you get here? Like, that shit was killing me, yo.
Yeah, Billy Lord did that shit. I don't know what the hell, who the hell she was channeling, but I was into it.
I don't know idea who she was, because she's channeling somebody. I have no idea who it is, but like she just pops up in different places in this film, and it's like so funny because the other characters just like, she's been here the entire time. No way, she was just where we. How would you beat us here? This doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's hilarious. Ron Brandon, what did you guys think of this film?
I heard about this one after South By, and I was really kept missing the screenings, and I went to the last one, and I laughed really, 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 really hard. I was surprised. It was funnier. It was smarter. The pacing was better. There were more moments you could identify with more people in here. I again endorse the love of Gigi in this damn movie, but not just her. It's like her home dude Jared, like, and his deep issues, and
yeah.
And Jason Sudeikis, where he pops up in this movie, is kind of perfect. And I there was nothing I didn't like about this movie. I liked the casting. I liked the backstory. I liked the pacing. I liked the setting they put it in. And like just not even the big things that didn't like jump out at you. Just like the small, tiny moments. It was pretty damn perfect. I had a good time. It's definitely in my top five films for the year. I don't think it's going to get bumped down. It might get bumped up. But yeah, I enjoyed this a lot, surprisingly enough, because I didn't think I'd like it.
I mean, for me, I saw it twice. Yeah, saw it 4 weeks ago. And then Ashley was like, so when are you going to see Booksmart? And I was like, I saw that like 3 weeks ago. And she goes, why didn't you tell me? I did. You said you didn't feel like going at night. You said you looked at it and you said it was too much. She was like, I don't remember. And I was like, okay, well, look, there's an early screening. We'll go see it. So I'm going to see it again last Friday. Give it my money. It deserves my money. And ultimately, I knew I was going to love this film with the first scene. When they did that dance in the street and they both looked like two idiots. And then to make it even better, they took the music out so you could actually see what they would look like if you were just looking out your window. I was like, this movie is this movie is smart and it's doing smart things. This is going to be great. And I think that their banter back and forth, their chemistry on screen was really like what drove this film and pushed it beyond and made the comedy funner. Like the scene where she's playing the banjo and it's just singing that song about, if you don't speak, I'm going to kill myself. Like, or I feel like you might need to get some help. That shit is funny, man. And it, like, that's what friends really be doing to each other. Like, she's having a crisis and her friend is picking with her and playing a goofy song on a ukulele or banjo, whatever the fuck that was. Like, those scenes, I think, are the stuff that I really loved about this film, being smart. And I like watching films where I can see that there are women writers and there was a woman director and there are women producers. And it's very evident. You don't just have to look at the credits to see it. It's very in your face. And I think the story was interesting. I like the fact that it took place basically over like an afternoon, right into the morning. And I like that. I think one of the best things about this film are the students that they have been not interacting with, that they had this idea of, right? They have their own view of these kids. And it's the view that adults have when they go see movies like this, of how high school teenagers are. And the film does not like hold back from showing you that these kids are idiots. But when the kids start talking, the whole driving motivation of the two leads to be like, oh shit, we should have partied more. The fact that these kids are acting like teenagers, but they're smart, I thought was a great mirror being held up in the face of parents. Like, yo, don't be straight up judging a book by its cover. And the fact that, you know, this affluent area, these kids getting into these schools kind of makes sense. And these kids being this smart kind of makes sense. But these kids also being dumb as hell the last night that they party together or any time that they party truly shows that they're teenagers. And I like that this film did that. Because typically films, when they're about teenagers, the teenagers, they're just stupid. Like there's one person or two people in class who are smart and everybody else is an idiot. In this film, the kids are all smart. They just don't give a fuck about school because high school, for people who don't know, is over fucking rated. And I like that this film was basically saying that high school is pretty over fucking rated. And when the main character figures that out, I'm like, yep, I'm in. Let's see where this film goes and let's see how stupid she's willing to act now that being valedictorian isn't that great of a goddamn accomplishment in high school.
It's the difference between like when your parents are telling you what you have to do to succeed and achieve and what actually turns out to be the truth. Like one of my favorite things about this is how the movie opens and she's sitting in her bedroom and she's listening to a mantra. And I can't tell you what she says because that's, you know, the best part about it. But that, like, that whole mindset that people tell you that you have to be in, that you have to, you know, it's like Steve Harvey saying, like, you know, rich people don't sleep and shit, and thinking he's saying something profound. So, like, watching this person who's checked all the boxes and played by all the rules and has lived in this little silo of where everyone told her that she had to be in order to succeed, to turn around and look at all these other people and realize, well, just because I couldn't see them care didn't mean they didn't care. Just because they were okay with looking ridiculous to me, oh my God, I didn't matter to them. You know, my whole strategy didn't matter to them. And I was like, you know what? This is really, actually really fucking smart.
Well,
and
yeah,
and that's kind of what worked.
Well, I think this film, you know, it takes a lot of tropes that kind of happen with its films. And I don't know, we'll probably get into this one, you know, Joy wanted to talk about comparison to other films, is those other films usually just go with its simple tropes of what high school kids are, right? They're dumb. You have the dumb kids, you have the jock, you have all of them, they all fit in these little boxes. This film basically goes, yeah, that's what, like, so your two main characters, they were kind of like the adults. Amy and Molly were kind of like the adults of seeing all these other characters as in these little boxes. Oh, okay, Ryan's the jock. He does this. You have this character. She's the slut. She doesn't do anything. You said what?
Triple E.
Yeah, Triple A, which they actually have her name here like that. You know, they have all these things, you know, they have all these opinions on them, but then when you go in and you start talking to them, like, when, you know, Molly looked at, what was it, the dude she was crushing off, or was it Ryan? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think Ryan. Ryan was like, as rich being a dumb jock and didn't know any better, but then when she found out that he's like actually like a Harry Potter fan and stuff like that, she was like, wait, I didn't know you know that kind of stuff. You know what that is? And when she finds out the other kids are going to all the schools, some of them are going because they play sports, or one of them's like, yeah, I'm not going to college. I'm just going to Google. It's going to be a mid six figure.
Google in, yeah. in the mid six figures.
I guess it's going to be okay.
That has probably got to be one of the best. Like, just the way the scene unfolds, mm-hmm. like it had all of the essential elements of, well, I guess if you're going to go with quintessential iconic high school movies, you kind of start thinking like a Hughes film. So it had all of the elements of what you would expect in that kind of movie. And then the dialogue is nothing right. like what you would expect. And like the rhythm and then who's talking and what happens. And she comes out and has her moment where it's supposed to be the big burn. And in any other movie, the moment ends after she kind of drops the mic on them. Mm-hmm. And then this movie yeah. just keeps going and does everything that would actually probably really happen in real life.
Well, because you also, you know, you also get the idea that Molly's kind of a bad person.
He is a bad person.
She's a bad person. And right, she's a bad person. And so
she's a judgmental bitch.
Right. And so the lead character, one of the lead characters, you find out is also kind of shitty. And in other films, when you have the kind of shitty person, they never really face any real consequence, or they never really have to come to terms with any of that stuff. But like you said, this entire film turns on its head in that bathroom scene where she finds out that's like, yeah, you were being a judgmental bitch the entire time, but all these other kids, they're going to see you. Basically, a triple A base sister was like, yeah, I'm just going to pretend like I don't know you, like I don't hear when I'm also in Yale. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, just that one moment where that one throwaway line, she's like, you know, you don't even care about school. And then, and like her response was something like, no, it's just not all we care about.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is perfect.
They make her a villain. She in any other film, she's the villain. Mm-hmm. In Election Day, she's the villain. She's Reese yep. Witherspoon. She is the villain in these films. In the what was the film where the kids be all singing and dancing and shit that was popular for a hot fucking second?
Glee? High School Musical.
In Glee, that the girl who is now I'm just gonna say the girl with the big nose, because she had a big ass nose.
Lea Michele.
Yes, she's the in Glee. To me, she's the villain, and that character in every film like that is the villain. In this film, they introduce you to the lead character, who you realize in that bathroom scene is the villain. But the way the film opens up, they try to make it seem like no, she's just a really smart person, like they typically do in some of these films. Like in the Junoist type of way, they're saying, no, she's just smarter than her peers because teens are stupid and she's actually trying to be somebody. But this is really just from the angle that they typically don't show you these characters from. If it had opened up any other way with them having to endure her walking in class and standing up to do that speech when they were all booing, you would have immediately recognized her as the annoying, pompous, as Ro put it, kind of being bitchy for no reason, girl in high school who feels like she's better than everybody else. But because he's the main character, and they do that goofy little dance number in the beginning, you like her as a character. Then you see the bathroom scene, and you're like, oh,
you're that bitch.
Yeah.
You're that girl.
I forgot.
I mean, but even more fundamental than that, if you kind of get it back into the gray area and you put it back into the, you know, thinking about how you have all these different people who exist in high school and how they're siloed and like that, you know, certain groups don't cross certain lines, so you don't know anything about those other groups. As you go through the night of the different places that she goes to, and you see who pops up where and which people and which attitudes kind of cross, you know, cross vibe. And like even the whole lunch scene. And I was like, you know what? I don't know who thought, well, we know who did. Like the way Olivia Wilde decided that she wanted to stage things and how she wanted to move from one moment to the next was pretty damn brilliant. And the fact that she's working from a script that gave her all of these things, and the fact that they had, I can't think of a more perfect cast for this type of movie ever.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, because a lot of the comparisons are coming from obviously like Superbad, like the Seth Rogen era of these like teen comedies.
Yeah.
Which, fun fact, nobody, I feel like you guys probably all know this. Bea Feldman, who plays Molly, is Jonah Hill's sister.
Yep. Yeah.
And she was, I wasn't a real big fan of Lady Bird, but she was the standout in Lady Bird as, to me, as the best friend.
Yeah.
Did not get as much screen time as I thought she should have, because she was stellar there. And so I kind of knew her kind of coming in. But I got to write a written review about this, and I kind of talked about how I feel like versus these, you know, white male teen comedies, I think this film is much more sharper, much more smarter, and much more queer, which I absolutely enjoyed, than their counterparts. And I just think that they're better. It's a better movie.
No, they are. They're across the board. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Because women are fucking funnier. Like, that's just a fucking fact, man. Women are funnier. When it comes to comedy, when it comes to sketch acts, you look at SNL characters, et cetera, over the years, women are funnier. They just are. And these guys, like, don't hate that shit. They fucking
But not just that, it's easier to add in things that seem to fall out of the dude kind of versions of these movies, which is why this movie can be queer without it being about somebody watching somebody get it on. It's like, right, for some reason, it's like you get a wider viewpoint off the world when you have the lead characters be female. Now, part of that we all know is because some people fundamentally don't believe that women can truly carry a film. So the story is a little bit better. But for this one, not only were they funnier, not only was their material smarter, the premise was still one of those ridiculous kind of teenish type premises, but it held together better because it was built around the way you would have to tell this story if you weren't going to just narrow in to good guys versus bad guys.
Like, I immediately think of Superbad when I see this film, but I also immediately go, this is so much better than Superbad. This is what you make when you, one, you have female writers and directors and you center female characters, but also it's like when you also just know fucking better. Like, I think that, you know, Superbad was fine for its time, but it's also got a lot of problematic shit in it, right? Because of who wrote it and who at the time. And I would even think that Seth Rogen himself would be like, yeah, I've kind of moved on from that and I'm doing, trying to do better. But it's just
grown up. Look at Long Shot. The man's grown up.
Right. It's like, he's grown up. And so it's not the same thing. And so to me, this is absolutely just a better film. It is, it has a lot of the same ideas and story beats as Superbad would, but just smarter. It doesn't feel like the entire object of the film isn't just going to get laid, which is what the object of Superbad is, right? And so automatically there, you get to have a little bit more of a nuanced discussion about certain things that are happening in this film. And you also have, I don't know, it's just, to me, there's just so many other elements of this. And you get a little bit more fleshing out of the different characters, like we mentioned before. The character of Gigi is hilarious, but who is the dude she's with that she's always around?
Jared.
Yeah, even Jared's character, where you have this opinion of him, could you first meet him, and you're like, oh, he's that guy. He's that try-hard dude. Oh, my God, what's going on? And then you start getting Steph more and more Green scenes with him. You said what?
Steph Green from Can't Hardly Wait.
Like, right.
He just...
And you're just like, okay. And then you get more and more of the character like, oh, wait, there's more to him. And I didn't think of that. In other films, in like Superbad, there would never be more to that character. He would be that stereotype. And I think that's the difference between this film and those other films is, those other films stop at the trope. This film introduces them, some of these characters as tropes, but then breaks that trope and then goes around and expands them even more. Like, you get more depth to Ryan's character. Like, in other films, Ryan's character will be a character that you end up hating and thinking, oh, he's going to treat some of these other characters bad. When you see him in this film, you're like, actually, no, he's
likeable guy.
Yeah, just he's a likable, just normal guy. And subject to some of the lead characters forming their own opinions about him and not knowing that. And so you get more depth to these characters. They're all more interesting.
That they take it from that stance, because if you actually look at his character through the whole movie, there's never a moment where he's being a dick or an asshole. When they introduce Cobra Kai-ish type characters in films where they're just picking on the Danielsons of the world for no fucking reason, they don't do that with Ryan's character. He is goofing off and having fun, and he's dapping up everybody, and he's cool the whole movie. But I don't think you really think about that until he starts talking to, I don't remember if it was Molly or Amy, until he starts talking to her later on, I started to think, oh, he was never a bad dude, though.
Right, exactly. Right,
but that's when you run into having to go to older movies and just thinking Superbad, and you get into thinking about Fast Time at Ridgemont High. He's supposed to be Spicoli.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's Sean Penn's character. And I thought it was great what they did with him. I mean, the way they introduced him, the way that you kind of only got that like that pretty glossy glow. And then you're deep into the end of the second act going into the third act. And then you start to actually get Ryan and he starts talking. And then you get other elements of other people and they build around what's going on at this party. And I was like, that's where you start running into like realizing that it's really smart. But and like, even when they started having the people have meltdowns, it was still really smart.
They're not mean kids. And I think that's what I'm glad that this film didn't have. It really, there's one mean girl and you know why she's mean. It's very evident why she's mean when you first see her and why she's mean to that person. But the rest of the kids aren't mean. And like, even when the whole bathroom scene happens, later on, when you run into those characters that could absolutely have been mean and had all the reason in the world to be mean, they're not fucking mean. But when you think about films like Superbad, you have to look at the immature nature of the people who was making it and who they thought they were making it for, the American Pie group, right? So they wouldn't have a scene like the whole hallucination scene that happens in this, which is one of the funniest scenes I would put up against any.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Unexpected too. And oh my God, so fantastic.
It's moral of the story. Don't take anything from Gigi.
So much in that one scene to make all of these statements, but it's also raunchy and ratchet as fuck, and it's funny. Like like I was just like, the writing, like the dialogue they're having while hallucinating is like, I see why she wants to get in the government, but then you also see the ratchetness come out of one of them, and then
that shit was hilarious.
It just gets ridiculous, right? Like I was like, in Superbad, that would have just been dick jokes for 20 minutes. It would have turned into Sausage Party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that the other difference between this is they never tried to force the development of the story to go in any one direction. So it was a little unwieldy, but it was fun. It kind of followed how a night would go with two people who have no experience partying at all. Mm-hmm.
It made sense.
And if you kind of didn't try to force it to fit the mold of how, you know, the high school party movie goes, and you kind of looked at it more as like, this was a really bad quest of choose your own adventures, it made it even funnier, and it built somewhere, and it was great. And you had all these different moments without ever feeling like you reached a plateau for any part of the movie. Because like, for me, I'm sorry, those two ridiculous gay boys.
I was about to bring them up. Yes.
Yes.
Can we talk?
No, they are fucking hilarious. Like, absolutely ridiculous.
I'm trying to find out which Whole Foods parking lot I need to be in.
Yo, Shakespeare in the parking lot?
Yeah, I mean, but everything about them and the way that they built them, and that's when you start running into the part to where I think if there are people who don't get certain elements of this, it's because those are the parts of school that they ignored or mm-hmm. pretended didn't exist. So this movie puts it back in your face that you can't leave out any one group or any one clique, and that who you think is quote unquote popular or who you think the smart people are is never goes the way that you think it's supposed to be. And just their whole night from where it started to end, it took you through all of these. But I'm telling you, those two boys sold the shit out of those characters. They are great actors.
Yeah.
And one of them did part of it in Gold Lame, so I have nothing but praise.
I think this film is just beautifully done. I really do feel that. I also love that Olivia Wilde did it, because I feel as an actress, Olivia Wilde hasn't necessarily gotten a fair shape, because she was definitely a victim of the over-sexualized mid to late 2000s actress that looks like her. Mm-hmm. And she actually has a lot of, she's very, very talented, very outspoken. I actually saw her, she came for MLK Day,
to like one of the oldest churches in Harlem and read a poem for Ryan Coogler's foundation that he or a program that he founded called MLK Now, where they have pretty much famous Black celebrities come read. And she popped up. I was like, why the fuck is Olivia Wilde here? But like that always stuck in my head. And so when she started directing, and she directed like a Red Hot Chili Peppers music video that was pretty good when she was pregnant, I was like, oh yeah, good on her. But then when this happened, I was like, okay, I love that she has been able to really kind of take control of her career and her narrative. She's definitely going through her Beyonce self-title moment, and I'm here for it.
Also,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, she's making really smart choices. You can tell when she has a little bit of control over something because it always goes well. But like when she's just quote unquote working, she can give a solid performance. But everything else about what she's doing, a product that she's a part of, can be trash. So I was actually very excited to see that she was going to direct, because she's smart. She's witty. She's got ridiculous timing. I mean, come on. And I was like, there's got to be more there than what they're letting her do. She seemed frustrated sometimes when you would see absolutely. Her acting. So I was like, yeah.
Bro, you love trashy white TV shows like I do. I know you watch TLC.
I really do.
So you know, and this is what we bonded very quickly. So you, I know you've watched the OC. Remember when she was the bisexual girl?
Yes. On
the OC? Bruh. That was a rough time.
I was like, Olivia, love yourself. Leave this. But yeah, no, it's great. I think she's making smart moves. I thought it looked well. I think she and the DP and the editors made great choices about putting things together. But more like what she pulled from the people to get on screen for what she wanted. I don't know whether or not they just came suited and booted that way, but it seemed like it was a really good, nice little synergistic mix for all of them.
Also,
I think they had fun. The whole water balloon ending. That to me let me know they were having fun constantly while shooting this shit.
Also, shout out to them for doing something a lot of these films don't do. If you're gonna have a teacher that ends up having sex with a student, maybe try to make sure that it's not overly creepy by making sure that the student's at least of age, or way up, not even close to like being not 18. I mean, like in their 20s,
far out of their prime.
That right. was the best little moment in there. Well, I was like, you know what? Not only was that, and they also made it Jessica Williams.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they cast someone who looked like they weren't too far outside the realm of the people.
Right.
Anyway, so this person hitting on this other person did not make you feel like someone should be calling CPS.
Right.
And it was super bad. The creepy teacher would have been Jason Sudeikis.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You are so right.
It would have been. And I was worried because when he shows up at this one point in the film, I was like,
I'm not going to. But he popped up. And I love Jason Sudeikis. I also, you know, shout out to giving your boo a job. Hashtag goals. I see you, sis. I see the vision.
Gotta work on that tax rating.
I get it. I understand. But with his little, because he got beady eyes, and I like Jason Sudeikis, but like he got beady ass eyes. So when he came out, I was like, oh no, this is gonna go bad.
You're talking about his eyes. His eyes for me are the problem. There's this thing about older white men where, guys, if you reach a certain age and you look that age and you let your hair grow too long, you immediately are now creepy. And his hair is at that creepy length.
I think they did that on purpose, which made it hilarious. God.
I saw him interview on Ellen a while ago. So actually, Ellen cut his hair on an episode like maybe 2 months ago. But it wasn't for me.
And the fact that he was a teacher makes it worse, because like they're like, he's a principal, and I'm like, but he looks like a music teacher because they always look creepy. And dude, yeah, you gotta cut that.
No, like nothing in this movie is used the way you expect. It subverts everything from casting to even the most ridiculous moments where we're all like, this is just stupid. Why are we watching this? And then you can't stop laughing. Like the moments at the pizza parlor, which I refuse to allow any of us to spoil. But and also the moment with Jason Sudeikis when they see him not in school, how that goes down. Like every single moment that would have been something silly had it been guys, mm-hmm. was just yeah. it was and just so do. Well used.
And it's still funny.
Do it up front, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the cafeteria scene, I think, is where I was like the dance scene in particular, like in the beginning, I was easily hooked in the film. But what sealed the deal for me was that cafeteria scene, and you get that traditional, you know, the you know, my young love of my life, and you see who's on the skateboard, and this is like, you know, slightly stud-esque white skater girl. I was like, yes, I'm here, we're present, let's do this. Like, I was screaming from ear to ear, like full cheesing. I was like, I see what y'all did, and I'm here for it, let's do it.
And nothing was forced. So anybody who's saying that this is an agenda movie can kiss my ass. Anybody who's saying this is like some feminist propaganda and, you know, they're just ruining this. I think that's why it makes me mad when people say this is super bad for girls. It's not that they're calling it, making the comparison to super bad that bothers me. It's like they feel like they need to throw that damn preposition on the end. This is a movie in the same vein of super bad. It's better.
Yeah, it's
better
own
than
film.
All those movies.
Yeah.
You and I mean, I feel like it takes the best of what we got from the generations of the Hughes movies. It takes the best of what we got when you started talking about Welcome Back, Carter, and Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It goes into pulling into the elements from what was the best of the era of the movies for the American Pie movies, and then still the Seth Rogen movies as well, you know, culminating with Superbad being the one that everybody identifies with the most. And it takes everything about that particular genre and subgenre of doing stories like this, and it does them well, and it does them right. And it tells them with real people who look like they could be in school together, and it doesn't have to force anything. So you have brown people, you have white people, you have straight people, you have gay people, you got queer people, you got people, you don't know what the fuck is going on with them, but they're going to tell you, and you're going to be like, you're fucking weird. And I like you, Gigi. You know, and it does it so well and so wittily that you get to the end, and for a minute, you're like, I don't even know how I feel, except for I like what I just watched.
Yeah. Also, I've been confusing Nick and Ryan. I've been meaning to say Nick the entire time. But anyway, yeah. No, this film was great. And like you said, it's just one of those things. Like, you know, the females who are bad, like, you're kind of shitting on this film because, like you said, it's better than Superbad. And it should be, because Superbad came out like 2011.
Yeah.
But I think it goes back to everybody's point where we express that. Women are fucking funny, man. And I, when you give the opportunity and the access to have creators behind and in front of the character, behind and front of the camera, tell stories in traditional genres and beats that could work really well for them, you'd be surprised at how much original shit you can get. Like, I think about this, and even in the veins of, like, you know, I don't know if you guys saw See You Yesterday on Netflix. Really very traditional time travel, you know, tropes, but they did something specific and nuanced by having it being about a girl whose brother got shot by the cops, and so she's trying to go back in time to get him. Like, that's some genius level shit. Like, really thinking outside the box here of taking traditional beats that we've gotten from a multitude of different genres, from the Hughes era, the, you know, Seth Rogen, you know, late 2000s level or era of comedy, and all these different tent poles, but doing it in a female voice and doing it, you know, with a friendship between young girls.
And not even changing the way that we talk to each other, which I think is even better. Because the moments they have when they're just like glowing each other up, and we do that shit. And it's just as ridiculous. And they didn't change any of it to try to make it sound smarter or any less asinine as the shit we say to each other right before we have to go somewhere where we're not sure we need to be.
Yeah,
And I think that's a lot of the perspective that's usually missing from these movies.
Yeah, and it's delightfully, and there's a smartness to it, and even still, like, you know, when we talk about women comedies, people talk a lot about raunchiness, so indulge me for a second. There's a raunchiness to it that is still smart. It's intelligence, it's still intelligent. It is not raunchy for raunchy's sake, which is why those earlier Seth Rogen films I had an issue with, because I was like, this is just gratuitous for no reason. You talking about your dick is not funny. Like, I don't find any humor in that. I don't think it's necessarily like groundbreaking or revolutionary. They put thought and effort in the jokes that they told. They put thought and effort in terms of the people that they casted to deliver these jokes. And they land. Every last one of them lands. And it's funny in different types of multitudes and different beats throughout the film.
I'll be the oddball for that in that sentiment. I don't care if people compare this film to Project X or Superbad or Role Models or American Pie or whatever, because we need a more diverse casting in films like this that cover teen era type shit comedies that are all over the place. If you want to make vagina jokes throughout a whole film for 90 minutes, if they're funny, I'm completely in. If you want to make dick jokes for 90 minutes, if they're funny, I'm completely in. The fact that this film is smarter than those films and funnier than those films is why I kind of want people to go, yo, it's funny, like Superbad is funny, because it'll make people go, oh, I like Superbad, I'll go see it. It doesn't, to me, it's not tearing the film down to that level, because it is better than fucking Superbad. It is way better than like Project X. And it's definitely better and needs as many sequels as American Pie if we're going to keep this going. But that's just how simple the public is. They're like, well, what is it like? And if you try to explain this film to them from just its ground point and from its intelligent comedy points, I think people just will not miss the beat, because frankly, people just aren't smart enough on their own sometimes. It kind of got to be coached and pushed into that shit. So if their marketing is, it's super bad, but it's just two female leads, which they don't even really need to do that. They honestly could have just done marketing, showing crazy clips from this shit and saying, if it's like putting at the bottom, Superbad, Project X, da da da, this. Because there's no other film like those out right now. This is the only one. This is the one that they're hyping up to be that film for the summer for teens. And I'm actually glad it doesn't have any fucking competition in that genre.
The fact that they're making the comparison to Superbad that bothers me. It's the fact that they feel like they need to then limit it and define it by saying it's Superbad for girls.
That's a different group that I'm not even like concerning myself with. If that's like, if you're saying it's super bad for girls, I feel like that's a different statement than saying it's super bad with women. Like for like saying that this film is for women is ludicrous. It's not for women. It's for people who love comedies. Like that's what it's for. From its,
I agree.
From its point. So yeah, that's absolutely terrible wordage. And people, and that's like, I have a thread that I shared, and I was like, none of these guys in this thread leaving comments to be able to touch a vagina again, or any part of a woman, because they're so mad that a Project X just type film came out, and instead of it being Stifler and some other recognizable jackass who is too old to be making films like this now, it's two young girls who are funny and fit the mold and carry the film and do a great job and have wonderful chemistry and are raunchy and ratchet and lovable all at the same time and admirable. All at the same time, they had conversations in the way that they attack things. I was like, this is funny, but it's smart too, right? Like, I really want to sit and be, I really want to be friends with both of these characters. Even when one of them is being a bit pompous and posh at times and talking about being like the leader of the government one day. But I get it, but they still seem like fun people. This film does a great job of fleshing out those different traits. And I also think that this film does a great job of getting far enough away from the Hughes era and the American Pie era and the Project X era to give this film its own vibe relative enough to that generation that should go see this and love it. When I went to see it the first time, I had a group of white moms behind me, and I would say moms, but they didn't have a diverse mom in the group. It was white mommies, and they were all behind me like, I'm screening this for like my 14-year-olds to see if they'll be able to go see it. And they're watching it, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, like, I get that y'all will enjoy this film, but let's be real. Your 14-year-old is hanging with people who say and do some of this shit in this movie now. So you screening it for them like it's too much for them is actually you trying to act like your kids are not smart enough to come see this movie. And I think this film is actually saying back to parents throughout the film, your kids are way fucking smarter than you think they are.
Your kids are smarter than you.
Yeah.
And half the things that you've done to prepare your kids for life are trash, and why your kids are moving back home. So stop talking to your kids and let them figure it out. Oh. They're doing a better job than you are.
Oh, by the way, the only parents we really see in this film are Amy's parents, and that is hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious. Hilarious.
It is fucking hilarious.
everything about it, I love Amy's parents.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Funny
Lisa Kudrow there's never been a time Lisa Kudrow has not been hilarious. I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Right, small.
Well, I didn't discover Lisa Kudrow till post the Friends year, because I did not watch Friends.
I watched Romeo.
I watched Friends. Yeah.
So Romeo Michelle is my point of reference for I couldn't get it.
I don't do Friends. Friends isn't funny.
Yeah, but Romeo and Michelle is my point of reference when we start talking Lisa Kudrow, and I thought that shit was hilarious and wrong on all the levels it could be.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm a fan of the crazed blonde. I love what she does, and I think the way that she underplays certain things in this role made it even more hilarious, because you would expect a different vibe because she's Lisa Kudrow. So this just reaffirmed for me that she is in fact acting when she works, and it just made me.
It reminds me how much I like the parents from Easy A. I love new parents like that in these comedies. Like, the parents are, they're absolutely not aware. They're like, they're not hip, but they want to be hip, but they're funny and they're endearing. Even the small amount of time that you get with her parents in this movie with Will Forte and Lisa Kudrow, I was like, I actually like her parents though. Like, I like the way that they're handling these situations. I like that they're not hip to the verbiage and the talk and the culture, but they're trying. They really are trying, but also they still want to be parents. And I think they carried that very well. And also the comedy. The comedy is there through and through.
Oh, yeah. The beats are there and they all work. Your comment there about Easy A, I think for me, honestly, that is a better reference for the kind of movie and the level of witty humor that's happening in Booksmart for me than maybe saying Superbad. And it's ironic because Easy A is an adaptation of a Shakespeare play. So
of all the films that I named that I feel like this falls into the genre with, Easy A is the only one I own.
Well, there you go. And that just means that you're not a monster and I don't have to come and kill you.
Out of 10, what do you guys give this film?
10.
Keep it simple.
Damn, Joy.
It's the truth. This is a flawless film. I genuinely mean that. Like, I'm not being like super dramatic about it. I'm being very dead serious. There's another film that's going to be coming out soon that, while I don't think is a flawless film, like in terms of hilarity, I'm curious to see what people think of it, which I also thought was smartly written, which was also written and directed by a woman, which is Mindy Kaling's Late Night. That's going to be coming out soon. And that is actually really good, but this one tops it. I think this is going to be the best comedy of the year.
I haven't seen Late Night yet.
Wait, did you see
Good Boys? Did I see what?
Good Boys? Is that what that movie is called? It's coming out in like August?
No, I didn't. That also did premiere at South By, though. I did not see it. That's the one with Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Okay. That was the one I was actually thinking of that would fall in the category with this. Of
the Boys?
Before Good Boys, yeah.
Okay, Good Boys. Okay.
I would say Late Night is not the same type of humor or genre. I just think it's a very, like, I think it is Mindy Kaling's best writing. Because I sometimes struggle with Mindy Kaling.
Well, what is that really saying, Joy? What is that really saying?
That's a different podcast in itself. Let's talk about that when you see it. But
fair
it is
enough.
Really funny.
No, I think I can't think of a misbeat in this movie. So I kind of am sitting like at a 9.5/10 because I can't think of anything that was off. I can't. I've already seen it again, so I think I'm just gonna go with a 10 because I really like this movie. It's my top five for the year, and I really don't think it's gonna fall out.
Brandon,
since I've already seen it twice and I enjoyed it even more the second time, I don't think I can give it anything less than a 10. But I'm gonna give it 10. What happened to his eyes? Out of 10, that's what I'm gonna give it.
Can I make mine 10? Don't talk to strangers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that wrap around that they did with that.
That is so hilarious. That was good.
I'm gonna change mine as well. I'm gonna give it 10. This is a stick up.
God. Yeah, I'm giving it a 10 as well. Like I said, this is the best of these kind of films. And it definitely is. You know, comedies are so tough to like review. I actually hate reviewing comedies because comedy can be subjective. But then you get a handful of comedies in a year that are like this, that are, they're not just funny, but they're also good movies. And so, and I think there's a difference, right? There can be, there's a lot of comedies out there that are bad movies, but are absolutely hilarious, and then that's good enough. A lot of times that happens. But in the year, it's like, you get, there's always that handful of comedies that come out, and you're like, oh no, that's the comedy you'll remember of 2019. That's the comedy you'll remember of 2018, yeah. Right? Because they're actually also really good movies and really, really smartly done. And this is one of those films. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
salute to A24, man. Y'all have been the Lord's work on marketing. Y'all have put, and whoever's on the team, make sure you drink, you know, you get an extra drink during Memorial Day weekend because y'all deserve.
And that's the other thing, too, I will say about this film is this is not one of those, like, hugely big budgeted comedies either that you'll think of, but A24 has been putting some marketing behind this film. So it, the lead up to it, the fact that they've been doing all these screeners, they did the Instagram screeners to get an early review, to get people in the theaters early to see, I think, last week. So it's like they've actually been really pushing this film, which is also something that you don't normally see. So yeah, this is, I'm hoping this film does really, really well. Relatively for the money.
This is also
spent
one of the
for.
Few times when they put out that kind of marketing that is absolutely and completely worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this film lives to the hype. So definitely go check it out. So yeah, folks, there you go. Have it. That is our review for Booksmart. You can find the rest of the reviews, movietrailerreviews.net, or just search for Movie Trailer Reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio or Spotify. And yeah, we got plenty of other stuff coming out on the network, so just stay tuned, and we'll catch up with you guys later. Until next time, we are out of here. Peace.